Excellent. And then, Mike, would you mind opening us in prayer this morning? Oh, actually, I know you're on mute this morning. You said you probably have to go on mute because you have little ones. Let's do, Cindy, would you open us in prayer this morning, please?
Absolutely. Lord, we thank you that you are on your throne. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, that you do not change, that you are not a man that you would lie. We thank you, Lord, that your words last forever. We thank you, Lord, that by you and through you all things were created for you, to worship you. And, Lord, we thank you for the purposes that we're gathered for on this call. Lord, we exalt your name up first above all things. We unify under your spirit, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for giving us one mind, one vision. And we thank you, Lord, that you have trained us for war. So, Father, we give you this time. We give you everything, and we lift up Summer, and we lift up Leah. We thank you for them, Lord, as our leaders. And, Lord, we just dedicate this time to you. We want to just meet with you and fellowship with one another. So, Lord, we just say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Cindy. And again, we just want to welcome everyone. Thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. We look forward to this time that we can all come together and just hear from one another, encourage one another. So we thank you for making this a priority. And I'm actually going to turn it right on over to Leah this morning to give us some national updates.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Summer. So good to be back with all of you this month. I'm excited to constantly hearing all the great things that are happening. Grateful to have you all on the time. Thanks for taking making this a priority this hour that we have together. So some pretty cool things that are happening. I'm very excited. First, I just want to say how thrilled we are with the new sort of expansion that is happening. The Lord is just bringing states to us. We're so thrilled. I don't know if people are getting on or if people are getting off. Summer, do you have an updated number of who's on before I keep going? I'd love to know who I'm talking to. Did a few more join us?
Yes, absolutely. I'll just go through one more time. We have Mike Corder with Kentucky, Jessica with our team, Angie with our team, Jason Williams in Ohio, Ted Ballinger, Missouri, Cindy in Michigan, Delbra in Illinois, Marlene in Tennessee, Pam in Florida, Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut. We do have Jenny in Iowa, and then I have a 701 number. Is that maybe Betty or
that
Mark?
Is Betty.
Betty, good morning, Betty.
I will stay muted because I do have, as you know, Summer, a three-year-old that is bellowing back and forth. I'm trying to keep him interested in another room.
No problem at all. Well, thank you for being on, and we'll be sure to say a prayer for him. Thanks for being on.
Thank you. Wonderful. So excited. Thank you all for joining. Really thrilled to be talking with you this morning. Some really great stuff. One of the things that we're thrilled over is many new states that are coming on board. Some of these states have been coming on board because of the Blitz that I'll talk about in just a moment, this Project Blitz. They're advancing religious freedom legislation and then connecting with us. Some have called us. Some we've called them just to reach out, and they've expressed interest and enthusiasm. Washington State, which I'm super excited about since I'm from there, we've been wanting and praying for Washington State to come on board, and now Representative Shea has just, within 2 weeks, he was on board, had legislators, talking state directors, signed his agreement, and he's full speed ahead. Alabama, Minnesota, the same thing. We're so thrilled to add these states. Real interest, we're talking with folks in Rhode Island, Maryland, Wisconsin. We have new state directors in Alabama, Alaska, Ohio, Missouri, North Dakota, possibly one very soon in Washington. So this is all happening over the past month or so. We couldn't be more thrilled with how the Lord seems to be breathing on this network and what a great reputation this network has and the advancement in various states and legislators talking to their peers as well and encouraging them to be a part of this network and the impact that we're having. So thank you, state directors. You guys are the keys to this. I can't tell you, every time I talk to a new state, I say, let me tell you, the most important thing we do is get you a state director. So thank you all for being such a great representation. We are, as you know, of course, we've talked to everybody about the summit, so I'm not going to go into great detail about that. And we do regret any inconvenience that it caused. We talked to all of our legislators that were already RSVP. We talked to all of our legislators that were considering it. So we've tried to have one-on-one conversations. They've all been just wonderful and gracious and understanding. But we really do want to make every effort to ensure that our entire network of leaders, many of our key prayer caucus chairs were not able to make it at that time. We want them all to have access to this annual summit. It's such an important and incredible time for them to come together. We felt like even though in the short run it would be inconvenient, in the long run, we felt like it was the right call. We decided on that with Randy Forbes. He's come on now as the president full speed. I mean, it's been sort of off and on of his time because he's going through some pretty significant transitions and trying to set his schedule with his teaching at the War College and his involvement here. But he's now starting to get into more of a rhythm. And he and I have had a good bit of time strategizing about where we're going. We are committed to making it even providing more opportunities for not only our legislators, but also for all of you, our state directors. He's very committed. He said, I want to make sure our state directors are taken care of, are supported, have opportunity for training. I mean, we're both very committed to making sure that you guys have the best of what we have to offer. So we're thrilled with his involvement and where we're going with everything. And so we'll let you know as we know. We're still doing strategy and planning out sort of the next year and where are we going and what's our priorities. And we'll let you know as soon as we know anything more about next gatherings. And so, you know, Project Bliss as well, I just want to kind of come back to that. That has been amazing, too, the opportunity to advance not only just religious freedom legislation, which now we're tracking 186 pieces in 41 states and 12 pieces in Congress. We also have several key coalition partners that are working with us, United in Purpose, of course, you know, David Barton, Family Research Council, FRC, IFA, Intercessors for America, Nehemiah Group in Texas, many of the family policy councils in a variety of states and at the national level, American Association of Evangelicals, BGEA, a lot of groups who that are on board. They are engaged. They're moving the ball forward in some form or fashion. Some we're equipping them with information. Some we're just partnering at the highest level. And we're talking and making sure that we're all aware of all the different things that are going on. So couldn't be more thrilled. Also, to a greater degree of engagement at the Congressional Prayer Caucus level. I've been up in D.C. now for 4 days total and met with over 22, I think, of our Congressional Prayer Caucus Advisory Council, and they are really, really excited about what's happening nationwide. To be able to give them the update, they, you know, you can just see their eyes going, you've got to be kidding, this is amazing. How do we get more involved? How do we support more? So we're already talking about ways in which we can get our congressional members involved, but not just our congressional members, the former congressional members. So former members of Congress, the former members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, as well as many of you know, we've created a legislator action team with our former prayer caucus chairs. And this is all going to be probably rolled into one big legacy board that's going to be a group. And I'm telling you, these former members are as aggressive and intentional and have been committed to this mission as much as any, because now they're free. They don't have the same ethics or the time commitments. They have the resources and the relationships and the reputations that they are really, really having an impact. And that, just for example, Representative Reiner in Kentucky, he just has been hugely supportive, for instance, in getting signatures for this amicus brief. There's only four states that have been involved with it, so all of the rest of you that are on this call, you may not know what we're talking about, but we were approached by the Michigan Attorney General's Office, Alan Cropsey, another former legislator, who said, we want to put together an amicus brief around the supporting the folks in Michigan over summer. Remind me again, what is this amicus brief? I'm running together.
It took it as many. It's a legislative prayer case, so they're literally trying to determine that legislative prayer is unconstitutional. So we're getting obviously to support.
That's right. And this is, of course, happening all over. So we're picking key cases that we want to weigh in on as legislators. So they said, can you help us in the four states that are going to be impacted, Ohio, Tennessee, and Kentucky? So we put the word out, of course, to the state directors in those four states, the legislative prayer caucus in those four states, and our legislative action team that have impact in those four states. So Representative Briner stepped up as part of our legislative action team, and he's spent 2 days on the phone making calls and getting over 20 signatures from Kentucky. So, again, these guys are committed. We're keeping them engaged. We want them to be even provide, and we're brainstorming now more ways that they can support not just the foundation at large, but all of our states individually. So, again, very, very thrilled with that. And then I just want to tell you about one more advancement as well that I think in the long run is going to be extremely helpful for all of us in you and in the various states, and that's this new legal team that the Lord has brought to our just brought to us. We were approached by an attorney, and he's also a law professor at Regent University, and he has been watching this network grow, and he said, I really want to talk to you. Well, he is part of this group of four policy and attorneys, legal defense folks that are retired, but they have put together this sort of co-op or this loose relationship where they said, we want to support religious freedom. We want to get in the battle, but we're not sure how to get in that battle. Well, when they sat down with us and realized we already have this network, we're already in the battle, they said, well, what if we just came in and we come pro bono and be your legal arm we can do amicus briefs, we can do letters, we can get put together a witness pool for your committee meetings. They began to talk about the things that they could do. It's everything that we would love to do, and not just on the proactive side. We're talking about how do we be proactive to even keep it out of the lawsuits that are being so, aggressive across the nation. So both ways, to provide support for our legislators in a real way. So, for example, it's just a very, very new relationship. But, for example, they wrote a letter for the Florida Legislative Prayer Caucus. They wrote a letter to the, and now that's going to be revised for the Texas Legislative Prayer Caucus, who wanted to send support to somebody who was being a mayor who was being persecuted or being told he has to, from the Freedom from Religion Foundation, of course, told he has to take a veteran's cross down in the Capitol. So these legislators are wanting to provide support, and also they want to write a couple of amicus briefs for the foundation. They want to start writing amicus briefs that we would send out for support. So that, too, is another option. But they have a whole list of things that they are going to start potentially doing on our behalf. So that is going to be, I think, a really strong, strong support for our legislators once we build that relationship and kind of have a sense of where this is going. So just a lot of exciting things, a lot of hopeful things. And there's more, but that's all I want to touch on today, and so that you guys have plenty of time, because I really want to hear what's going on in the states as well. So I'll open it up for any questions, and then pass it right back to you, Summer.
Leah, this is Pam in Tallahassee.
Hey, Pam.
I just wanted to tell you the legal team and what you guys did with the letter for the mayor of Longwood with the cross, with it, him dealing with the Freedom of Foundation, Freedom from Religion group, is massive. I talked to the mayor today, had a chance to pray with him. He's so excited because the Legislative Prayer Caucus has already circulated the letter. We're getting signatures, and he was so excited to know that the state legislators are standing with them. And so Representative Tonders, our chair of the Legislative Prayer Caucus, we talked about this today in the meeting, and the legislators are so thankful that there's a team of lawyers when these things happen that we can get something immediately written and help with. And so we're already seeing it happen right away here, and I just wanted to thank you guys. And the mayor is, and the legislators want to start calling the mayor and praying with him and encouraging him as he stands. And the mayor is doing media interviews, and he said, man, just to know that the Congressional Prayer Caucus Foundation exists and you guys exist and what the legislators, it just brought such strength to this man as he's standing in the fight, because he felt like he was all alone. And so that's what it's all about. So we're seeing it play out right here, even today.
Amen. Thank you, Pam, for sharing that, because that's exactly right. That's, I think, the vision that we see that as we've gone across this, and it's happening in North Carolina, it's happening in various places, where the legislators are also starting to see how they can come together. Even the congressional leaders and the various legislators, it's happening in North Dakota, it's happening in Alabama, they're doing the same thing. And the fact that we can now provide something very tangible to support them in a real way, the thing that's so exciting is that they're saying to be able to do something together that really solidifies our caucus and our relationships and helps us to get more vision for how the impact we can have, because you hit it on the head. So many people feel alone. And the more that we become a network and unified and work together and do things together and give testimony of the success, the more powerful this network becomes. And these leaders understand it, and they want to do it. They just need somebody to lead, somebody to facilitate and administrate their ability of something they already want to do. So thank you, Pam, for sharing that.
Well, and thank you, guys, because it really did today. It was amazing to watch it. So, and the legislators themselves, too, they were like, wow, this exists. This is great. We can do this thing. So there's excitement in the state capitol today. So thank you.
Good. Yeah, yeah. And also, too, just one last thing. I know that last time Randy Forbes was on the call, he said he really wanted to get to the various states. And so we had the joy of being able to get to Florida. We had meetings down there for other things. And so we were able to meet with the legislative prayer caucus chair and with Pam while we were there in Florida. Randy's up in Rhode Island. He's planning on meeting with the legislators in Rhode Island regarding this potential new interest. So there's, we're hoping that will happen more and more as well. It's going to take a little bit of time, of course, but we really do want to be a resource to our legislators in that way as well. All right. Okay, Summer, I'm going to pass it back to you.
Great. Thank you, Leah. And thank you, Pam. That is so exciting to hear. It's just, that's what it's all about. So thank you for being a huge part of that, too. Excellent. Well, I just have a few things, and we want to turn it over to the states. But I just want to, again, mention that y'all heard we're tracking a number of bills and doing our best to stay on top of them. But anything that y'all can do to track bills through the state websites, the state legislature websites, is extremely helpful. I know I talk to several of you whenever we meet and discuss kind of the status of the bills and things. We try to again, stay on top of it. But anything that you can do to help stay on top as well is extremely helpful. And then if you find that some of these bills are getting to a place that the legislators want help or support, please, let us know. And we, again, have a national coalition of about 40 organizations that we'll send an email to, asking them to send to their network in your state to get people to support their bills or take action or show up at a hearing or whatever the legislators may want. So, again, just a reminder to not only be tracking the bills, but to be in conversation with the legislators as to what type of support the foundation and this coalition could potentially provide to them. So just wanted to mention that. We also send to the database in your state as well. Some of you have almost, 10,000 people in your state database. So just a reminder also to keep them in mind for communication. I know I talk with many of you about that, or all of you about that. Okay, a couple other things I just want to mention too. If somebody is not receiving the weekly prayer update, please let us know. It's helpful. We found that it's helpful for many of the states and the legislators because we're trying to track the most egregious issues in each state and at the national level. So if an issue like this Florida Cross situation, we're trying to do it automatically every week. So if there's a situation on there that you go, you know what, we could write a letter. The prayer caucus could write a letter on behalf of this situation. We have templates. We have, again, this legal team to help take action on those issues. But, again, this weekly prayer update is just a means to help keep you all on top of some of the issues in your state. And it's not, we're pulling the most egregious, but those are typically the ones that you may really want to take action on. So just wanted to mention that. Also, in the one that went out on Monday, there's 9 cases, court cases, that are mentioned that are either going to be having oral arguments or decisions or something within the spring, and these are very important cases, one being that Michigan legislative prayer case where they're literally determining whether or not it's constitutional for legislators to pray in their to open their meetings in prayer. I mean, we can imagine what kind of precedent that would set. And there's a number of cases like that that are in the works right now, whether at the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court level, state Supreme Court level, or in a district court. So I'm personally feeling the urgency to fast and pray, and I just wanted to throw that out there in case anybody else feels led to fast or to encourage your networks to fast. But this is this is big. So I just wanted to mention that as well. Also, we have a new prayer caucus in Minnesota, and we don't have anybody there that we've identified as a potential necessarily state director. So if anybody has anyone, any connections that you feel like would be a good representation of a legislative prayer caucus in Minnesota and that has key networks, prayer networks, and your heart for the matter, then please let us know. I would love to follow up with them. Okay, and then, of course, as we're getting into the session, most of the legislative prayer caucuses are pretty much established, or, you know, new membership is now becoming clear. So if you all have a new member list, that would be great. We want to make sure to get them in our system so that they can start receiving emails from Leah on the American Prayer Caucus Network, and those are key updates from the members of the Congressional Prayer Caucus, things that are happening in the states, and then also a key message from the foundation that's particularly relevant to legislators. So we want to make sure to get them plugged into that, and also just anything else that may be necessary for them to know, we want to make sure they get plugged in. All right. Also, there's been, if anybody did not receive the state strategy supplement in the resources documents, the feedback has been that those are very helpful. So I just want to make sure that everybody has a chance to at least review those. And if you find them helpful, great. If not, no problem. But I just want to make sure that you have those available. Many have found that those are, they're great tools just to have in hand when they meet with the legislators and things, again, to determine kind of next steps or where to go or what's available. So I'll just go ahead and attach those on the follow-up email, but just wanted to mention those documents so you're aware of them. All right, and I know last month we kind of ran out of time, so I'm actually going to turn it over to the states right now. And because we have so many on the call, we do ask that everybody keep updates to, you know, 1 to 2 minutes, just giving us the an overview of what's happening in the state as it pertains to religious freedom. And, you know, if there's a key prayer concern, something that we can pray for you for. I know that Sharon right now is in North Carolina and is asking prayer for the HB2 situation. So we'll want to keep that in prayer. But as for now, I also want to take a minute just before we go into the state directors that have been with us a while. I want to just ask if the new state directors would take one or two minutes just to introduce yourself, and that way we can kind of get to know you. And I'm going to actually start with Jason again. Jason and Chris, everybody remembers Chris Albanese, great guy. He's taken a new job and is getting married, so he now is having to transition out, and he identified Jason Williams as a someone to take over. And so they're going to be kind of working together on some level, but Jason is stepping up and taking over as state director in Ohio. And so, Jason, would you mind just sharing, you know, 1 or 2 minutes about yourself?
Yeah. My name is Jason. I'm a young adult pastor in Columbus, Ohio, and recently a father, 8-week-old daughter. Her name's Isla, so that's really exciting for us. I'm also a part of worked in the past with GOP Faith out of the RNC, and am currently starting a church plant in Westerville, Ohio. So it's actually going to be doing 3 churches at once, which will be quite interesting. And I'm really excited. I've known Chris for a long time and really looked up to him. And when he talked to me about this, I was really excited to be a part of it. So glad to be here, and I'm looking forward to what we can do.
Thanks, Jason. And I know that you mentioned that you currently are in the state capitol regularly meeting with leaders and legislators, even leadership, with doing Bible studies and so forth with leadership in the capitol. So it's great that you already have those connections, and we, again, just appreciate you taking this on. Thanks for being on today.
Bye.
Good. And then, Betty, I know you're on mute. You have a little one there. I just didn't know whether or not you could just give one or 2 minutes of a kind of an introduction so that everybody on the call can get a feel for who you are and just get to know you a little bit better.
Well, thank you very much. He is set up in front of the TV, one of my least desirable things to do to him. But I am babysitting my 3-year-old grandson today because he is home ill. He's doing pretty good. Just running a fever for we don't know what reason, so we'll take him into the doctor today. And and my background is I spent 18 years in the North Dakota House of Representatives as representative of District 41. Retired in 2014, or should I say I was retired by my citizens. They didn't like the fact that I had passed the heartbeat bill that went to the U.S. Supreme Court a couple of years ago, and a few other bills that they felt were too costly. My question always was, what's the cost of one life saved? But that being said, I have since then moved on to work for the Heartland Institute. I do contract work on energy, environment, and pension reform. They're out of Chicago, but I stay in North Dakota. They allow me to work when I want on a contract basis. I have for the last about 14 years been the co-director of National Day of Prayer in North Dakota. And so I've been working in that network for quite some time. When I was in the legislature, we had weekly prayer meetings that we would have, and our group had an agreement across party lines, very similar to what goes on in the U.S. House and Senate, and that was the agreement of whether you were with or against a particular issue. If one of the prayer members was speaking on the floor, you prayed for them for wisdom, knowledge, and not always you didn't pray for favor. It was just that they would do well and in what they were trying to speak out in truth. And that was always very helpful to all the members. And so that was just something that when Senator Herbley wanted to start in with the prayer caucus here, he felt he would ask me about whether or not I would lead that. We spent a couple months in prayer and discussion around here as to whether or not I needed another task to take on, and it was felt that this would be a good fit for where we are in our walk, in our family here. So I am here today.
Well, we thank you for your leadership, and we thank you for taking this on. What a tremendous honor it is to have you with us and a part of this. Senator Herbley is very excited, as are, you know, other members. They just feel like, this is an exciting next step. So we appreciate your time today, and again, we will pray for your grandson. What is his name?
His name is Tobias.
Tobias. I love it. Excellent. Okay, well, thank you again. We appreciate your giving us a little background on who you are. We all look forward to getting to know you much better as well.
Thank you.
Very good. Well, I know our Alaska State Director was not able to make it on this morning. It's actually 6:30 a.m. there, so we may have some challenges with the timing with Alaska, but she's another great intercessor and leader in her state that's been working with legislators in the state capitol for years, and they do a number of things already, like having dinners for the legislators right near the capitol, and the legislators will come, they pray together, they just fellowship. So anyway, she's done a number of things for years to cultivate relationships and to really be a strong support, she and, of course, a group of other intercessors to support them. So very excited that Kathleen Muska is with us as well. All right. Well, good. Well, I believe Ted did introduce himself last time, Ted Ballinger in Missouri. And again, Ted, we're just excited that you're with us too as you're getting your feet wet there in Missouri. And we'll give you an opportunity to share in just a minute. Because Marlene has to drop off, Marlene in Tennessee has to drop off a little bit early. Marlene, would you mind just giving us an update there in Tennessee?
Summer?
Yes, there you are. Mm-hmm. I can hear you.
Okay, sorry. Yes, things are going good here. I'm pleased with the things that have happened over the past couple of months. I think, of course, you and Leah know we had a very successful call to prayer in January. Had about close to 50 legislators there. We have legislators that are meeting every week now to pray together. We also did a letter to a local pastor who there was a lawsuit filed against him from Freedom of Religion Foundation for praying for a football player who was injured on the football field. He was very appreciative of that. And what I find is the legislators are definitely networking. They're getting involved in this. They're excited about it. And just looking forward to the other things that they're going to do, still talking about some things. Unfortunately, the bathroom bill here is dead with some shenanigans that took place last week for this year. But anyway, disappointed in that, but who knows what will happen next year. So some of the main things that are going on right now, and of course, we pray every week in the Capitol, try to work with the legislators, encourage them, meet with them. And I think that's about it, Summer.
That's perfect. Thank you, Marlene. I know you have been faithful in the Capitol for years and years, and there's been a lot of really great fruit. So we appreciate you sharing today, and we'll see. How about Pastor McIntosh in Connecticut? Would you mind giving us an update there? I know you have some exciting stuff coming up.
Yes, thank you. There's a few things going on. On last week, Wednesday, as a matter of fact, we had a mobilization luncheon preparing for the prayer breakfast, which will be April 24th. And we did this on last year where we invited pastors to come to the Capitol and to encourage them to be not only participants in the prayer breakfast, but to encourage them to invite their legislators, their senators and their representatives from their district or their area, and to be the guest of the pastors for the prayer breakfast. And it went over very well last year, the mobilization luncheon, and also the breakfast went over very well last year. So we're doing the same thing this year. So again, last Wednesday, we had the luncheon for the pastors, which was well attended, and lots of commitment from the pastors. Also, too, we had a conference call so that those pastors who could not attend the meeting, they could call via the conference call and be involved, participate and commit and be in the discussion of the luncheon on last week. So it was very, 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 very successful. And we are now working on the breakfast, which will be, again, the 24th of April. And we are looking for even more legislators to be in attendance, as was last year. It was standing room only last year. And the room is not very small. It's not very big, but it's not very small either. And it was very well attended, so we're working on that and just looking forward to it. We're excited about it. Oh, and the other piece is, which we're diligently working on, there are some legislators who desire to pray together, and that piece we've had some challenges with. So we're looking for that to solidify itself even more after this prayer breakfast, and there's been a place designated for the legislators to come together and pray. And by the way, that's legislators from both sides of the aisle. And that part we're working on. And also it's going to strengthen the caucus here in Connecticut, the prayer caucus, and the piece that's connected with the Congressional Prayer Caucus and with in Washington with Leah and Summer and the staff. So that's what's happening. That's what's going on thus far.
Thank you, Pastor. Now, you said that this year you guys are doing something different as a means to have ongoing relationship, right? So the mobilization breakfast was in, or mobilization luncheon and call was to really kind of prepare and connect. But then the breakfast will be another means to do that. And then isn't there kind of a follow-up piece to make sure that that connection continues and there's proper follow-up?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the key things from this prayer breakfast is to encourage the legislators, or let them know that there is a place where they can come together and pray and also strengthen the base of the caucus, if that makes sense.
Yes, excellent. Well, I just so appreciate that y'all are really thinking through how to not only create these opportunities, but keep the relationship going. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We will continue to pray for the efforts there in Connecticut. Good. Delbra in Illinois, I know you have an exciting event coming up, April 5th. Would you give us an update, please?
Yes, thank you, Summer. Yes, on April 5th, we're having our third call to prayer for Illinois and getting a good response from the legislators this year, although things are really hectic in the legislature. We are in the midst of budget negotiations and very tense. I talked to a senator, I think it was Tuesday, I was at the Capitol, and was just trying to encourage him that we are praying for our state leaders, and he just looked at me and he said, Delbra, it's just so frustrating. And so perfect timing, I think, for a call to prayer for Illinois to encourage them. One of the things I've been trying to communicate with pastors and churches that I've talked to is that our legislators are calling us to prayer, and it's an encouragement to us to know that, but we have to go one step farther and respond to that call and to show up and to support them as much as we can. And so we are seeing a shift in Illinois. I think it's more a sense in the spiritual than in the natural at this point, but we just continue on and know that every gathering that we have, it is one more layer in the foundation to shore up our legislators and the body of Christ in Illinois. So we're excited about April 5th, and as I said, we're getting a good response. I'm especially pleased that we have some new members in the legislature, and they are probably as excited or more excited as the ones who have been there for a while about the call to prayer. So that's pretty much what we're focused on right now in Illinois, and haven't had a whole lot of success in moving religious liberty legislation simply because of the, I don't know how else to say it, the mess we are in financially with the budget in Illinois, but we will still continue in that vein as well. So that's pretty much my report for Illinois.
Wonderful. And I know I may have missed you saying this, but the legislators are going to be praying the first hour and then pastors are praying the second hour. Is that right?
That's right. We, in our call to prayer, of course, the call to prayer is that time really is for the legislators. I had gotten a lot of feedback from pastors and ministry leaders. Well, why don't we have an opportunity to pray for them? And so even though our legislators probably at noon will depart the Hall of Flags and return to the Capitol because they will be called into session, we are going to have a time of prayer that pastors just one by one will come up and pray for the state and the leaders. So that's something different. We'll see how it goes this year. But we're excited about that it'll be a new thing.
Yeah, I love that. That's very, very encouraging. Thank you, Delbra. Great, and I saw Donna in Kansas joined us. Thank you for joining us, Donna. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but would you mind giving us an update there in Kansas?
Oh, sure. We're having a really, really difficult year this year because, unfortunately, 30 of our most conservative people were targeted, 23 in the primary and then 7 in the general. And, we're having good meetings, and we only had a soft launch this year, and next year we'll have a hard launch, and next year's going to be hard also. Just some awful things. We've had 31 Republican representatives vote to fund Planned Parenthood, and I know this is not definitely the focus of the prayer caucus, but it'll give you an idea of where we are. And then Monday we had 11 Republican senators vote to fund Planned Parenthood within a Medicaid expansion bill. So it's really as we gather, I gather with the legislators on Tuesdays to pray. I mean, I've practically seen grown men cry. You know, because of the state of what's going on in Kansas. And the governor is sent out a tweet Monday saying he's stunned and disappointed. So that carries over to religious liberty also. We had 4 of our prayer caucus legislators go meet with the governor. They feel like that they have a really good religious liberty bill for the next session in 18. So we could use the prayers of the nation, where Kansas is usually very, very conservative, and we've had wonderful success. Right now, the enemy has snuck in, but it's a wake-up call. I mean, I'm even getting calls from national radio, asking for interviews in regard to the present state. So the other good thing is that these people are being exposed, and hopefully we are activating the grassroots, because they're all appalled to think that this is happening. So I couldn't be more pleased with the legislative director, Randy Powell, just doing a great job of leading the prayer. And we had a larger group this last week than we've had the whole session. I think people are, they've been busy. I'm not, trying to point fingers at why we haven't had more people come on Tuesdays, but they've been so busy. Some of them, it's the first year they've been there. But we do have strong conservatives, but not enough to override what you can imagine what all these new Republicans who are really rhinos are running on. So it's a difficult year, very difficult year. Even the atmosphere in the Capitol is not the same. But I look forward to next year, and I'm just very excited about what Illinois is doing, the call to prayer. I believe that Kansas, we can do that next year, a Kansas call to prayer when you all come in and give us a good launch. It'll be another difficult year because of all these people here, but a perfect time to call on the Lord corporately for the whole state. So thank you.
Okay. Very good. I just have to share a little bit more about some of the other efforts that you're doing because you've been so active. I know you meet with a number of the values, the family policy councils. You actually helped start the one there, but you work with them.
Oh, yes.
And you're continually working with them. What's the KVAT, Kansas?
Kansas Value Action Team. That's what KVAT means, and we meet actually the hour after the Congressional Prayer Caucus meets in the same room, in the Lieutenant Governor's room. We meet in there, and we work with all the organizations, and they're all Christian people that want additional prayer, so yes, we meet with them.
Good. So you're staying on, that's one way, again, to kind of cultivate relationships, stay on top of some of the religious liberty issues, and then find out how to work together. I know, again, you're working closely with the family policy councils. Also, you had mentioned a Pastor Appreciation Day. I don't think you were directly involved with that, but I thought that was such a great day. And
oh, yeah, we were directly involved with that, yeah.
You were?
Yes,
okay.
We had, I think, about 35 or 40 pastors that came, and that was very well received. They actually were recognized in the House and the Senate on Pastor Appreciation Day, and so it was We bought them lunch, and it was on the same day as the governor's prayer breakfast, which is from 6 to 8, but ours started at 9:30 and went until 3. And so we had meetings with them, amazing prayer, just amazing, powerful prayer. Again, we used the Lieutenant Governor's conference room for that. And it was very, very, very eye-opening for some of the pastors. And some of the legislators were coming in and out during that day, and the pastors were laying hands on them and praying over them, encouraging them. It was really a great, great, great day, and we've been doing that for 3 years now, having Pastor Appreciation Day.
That's powerful. And then the last thing I want to mention is that you work with George Barna, who is a pollster, essentially. I mean, he's continually trying to keep kind of his finger on the heartbeat of the church and get, you know, glean the trends and things. And you'd said that you're going to be working with him and potentially David Barton and some others to help create materials or just somehow create a number of resources.
Yeah, I would really encourage all of you to get his survey that he did. It actually originally came out a year ago, and many of you, well, you probably have some of the statistics in regard to 90% of the believers want more information on apologetics, and yet, and I'm not trying to be critical, but 90% of the pastors said that they will never preach from that. So 3 out of 4 churches in America do not believe that the Bible is the Word of God accurately. And 4 out of 5 millennials, but believers do not want to engage in the conversation until they have mastered the subject. So yes, I'm working. I've spoken. David Barton and I had a conference call where we're starting work on a curriculum that will come and be a tool for the pastors. We're going to take the top 14 subjects that George Barna came up with that the body of Christ wants to know more about. Abortion, religious liberty and religious persecution, poverty, cultural restoration, sexual identity, and on, there's 14 subjects. We're going to work with people who teach apologetics across the nation. We're going to be inviting speakers in. We hope to be able to take this to every state in the nation where there will be a large gathering. And we will have these great speakers. We're hoping to get Tim Tebow, Lila Rose, Alveda King, of course, George Barna, and, of course, David Barton, and so forth, even if we can only get a video of Ravi Zacharias. But we want to equip the body of Christ because they feel like that they're not getting equipped from the pulpit. I just want to say one thing in defense of the pastors. And this is, after a lot of prayer, I really felt like that what happened in our birthing of our nation is everybody was focused on the birthing of our nation. And we're trying to hold our pastors to the same standard, that they would be as articulate and really focused on that. But we've got a crumbling culture, and these pastors are trying to reduce the divorce rate. They're trying to hold families together. They're trying to keep kids from leaving the faith when they go to college, so forth and so on. And so we hope that this is going to be a tool, that the pastors will say, please, you know, to their people, go to get equipped. And it's going to be really fast-paced, day and a half, but in between speakers, Duran Reese gave me a great idea, eyeglass classes, where everybody's going to get a white pair of glasses, a black pair of glasses, and right after the speaker, we'll do role-playing with scripts. And so we hope it's going to be an exciting time, not something that you just go and then, anyway, I'm sorry, that's probably more information than you wanted. So,
no, it's
where
great.
We are.
I just want, and I wanted to just mention that because it's powerful. I know you're doing that kind of under Culture Shield, which many of the people on this call have, you know, other, either a church or another ministry or different things that they're associated with. So I know you're doing a lot of that under Culture Shield, but you can see how the religious liberty component and how the Judeo-Christian heritage component can be really valuable for prayer caucus, for the people in our database and things like that. So it's just exciting to see how you're you know, really getting in there and trying to address the situation and bringing solutions. So we appreciate
George Barna and David Barton feel like we only have 20 to 30 months, so we could use a lot of prayer to get this workbook compiled and be able to launch in the fall and fundraise for this type of an event to go across the nation. We feel that the Lord is in it, though, and so, you know, he can provide. Thank you.
Yes, amen. Very good. Thank you, Donna. Very good. Mike in Kentucky, would you, I believe you're still on. I know you said you had to go on mute, but are you able just to give us a couple updates? Great.
Thanks. Yes. So glad to be here. We are excited. We're winding up the assembly session today in our Capitol. Just yesterday, it was exciting to hear that the House bill that created establishes regulations for social studies, including biblical literacy, is going to be signed by our governor. That comes after the heels of a religious expression liberty bill that passed earlier last month. So we have had a banner year. It's just been outstanding. We're riding a very high wave right now. Regardless of what's happening in other states, we're glowing with excitement. Two or three abortion bills that were passed. In fact, when you have a carte blanche of a majority in both House and Senate, you could even override a very conservative governor's vetoes simply on a few little miscellaneous bills because of he's a little more libertarian. But they had gone to a lot of work for some of these bills. They're good bills, and so they even vetoed those, not even to spite him, but just to say this is how our Constitution works. The people of Kentucky want this. So we have had some exceptional legislative year. The Biblical Literacy Bill and the Religious Liberty Expression Bill sets our schools free, hopefully, to be able to withstand what we expect the ACLU to come against. Nonetheless, it's at least initiated. We'll see how it plays out. We've had an excellent year, starting this past summer with three different large gatherings of pastors at the governor's mansion where the governor attended and spoke. We helped participate in that. We saw the election elect at least six more six ministers of one kind or the other into our House of Representatives. The mix of people now in the prayer caucus, which was meeting twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays before session, has been very passionate. The people have prayed so much differently than in the past. It seems as the fear and the kind of stiffness has gone. And you see that in the hallway. You know, you pass the governor in the hallway and he says, "Hi, guys." And it's regulated but very normal feeling. And we're just glad to have a new atmosphere in Kentucky and hope that registers across the nation. The last prayer caucus meeting was yesterday. They basically finished the General Assembly today, late today when they finished all the minor bills. I can't tell you how many bills, about 150 bills. We wonder why so many, but that's just the way laws are. Many of them very good and helpful. Abortion bills were passed this year. This is the first time in decades and the first time in 100 years we've had a House and a Senate like this that has so strongly represented conservative values, and with a governor beside us. So it allows so much more to happen. And we will begin to kind of phase into a different kind of work, I guess. I'm working with a team of about a half a dozen different types of ministries at the Capitol and networked through the state. And we've got what we call 120 county initiative to connect with pastors. And I'm taking on one of the Fayette, Lexington County. That's a huge area with hundreds of churches, and just probably start canvassing churches and finding out what gauging interest and making connections of prayer groups. And we feel like those are the key groups within churches, the people that have influence in spiritual matters. And so we know that all churches will not, as was just said, we know where churches are. But we'll also find many that are. And we want to keep the church engaged because what we saw this past year was phenomenal in terms of the election results. where Democratic-based counties flip to Republican simply because of the churches, in my opinion. And the church congregation rose up and said no more to the kinds of freedom of religion issues, gay issues that happen in our state. So several bills that tried to come through, of course, were just squashed, never got a, saw the light of day. So anything conservative was good in Kentucky, anything liberal was out. And we're looking for a good year next year. So we hope that, that during the interim of between now and the next session, we'll have a stronger base of people to work with, stronger coalition of leaders in prayer and at the Capitol. Hopefully some more contacts and more gatherings. I feel like that there's more to say. We had an excellent call to prayer in the beginning. It's just been a really excellent year. I feel like I'm going on and on about it, but we are very excited.
Thank you, Mike. And I just want to share that,
yes.
You know, first of all, we are ecstatic at how, you know, the breakthrough and the positive things that are happening in Kentucky. But Mike knows, too, that it hasn't always been like this. 5 years ago when he started, it was very, very challenging. There was a lot of challenges in the state, even very, very challenging to connect with the Prayer Caucus chairman and so forth. But he has been faithful. He and Bill have been faithful. They're in the Capitol daily when in session. They fast regularly. They meet with a powerful group of, you know, not only do they have a network of people that they, you know, pray with on behalf of the Prayer Caucus, but they're connecting with other prayer networks in the state and praying regularly in the Capitol. They do just a number of things, again, just staying at it, being consistent, and it's paid off. So a lot of this is due to y'all's faithfulness and the faithfulness of those in your state to stand strong,
yeah,
praying fast.
Summer, I could not say too much about the value of prayer and the importance of prayer. I know that that's what makes the difference, even if we don't aren't able to put our fingers down on this exact moment. But there were moments we had groups of people praying in both chambers during off sessions, during off days, where people could get in there and pray, laying hands on every chair, anointing, you know, and oil in places where they couldn't see it, over every door. God is answering that. That is my perspective. And to the extent the church is engaged, we'll measure, I believe, the extent of effectiveness in getting godly legislation out the door at the end of the day, and more importantly, a mindset. And if we can turn our schools around, that's huge. I'd love to see this start to happen in Kentucky. I had a question about Representative Forbes, who's now the president. Is he accepting any other positions with the current administration now, or is he not going any further with any of that?
He's not going any further. He's not going any further with any of that.
Okay, thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, Mike. I know we're at the top of the hour. I just want to ask, is there anyone that has anything that you really want to share? I know everybody's working very hard and making tremendous progress, and we appreciate each and every one. So I just want to take a minute to say, you know, is there anyone that wants to share?
I will. This is Joel in Nebraska. I came on, I'm the one that clicked on really, really late, and the reason
was we decided
to filibuster this morning, and I couldn't call in sooner. Last week, I had prayed for a senator we have by the name of Ernie Chambers. Every day, he gets up and lectures the legislators on the evils of Christianity and how there is no God and this sort of thing. And we prayed for him. And this dovetails off of a God answering prayer. There's a man, John Ciara, from his district who ran against him. And he's been challenging his Ernie Chambers' right to hold the seat because Ernie Chambers doesn't live in his district. Well, I talked with John this morning, and it looks like he's going to win. And it'll mean the end of Ernie Chambers. Ernie Chambers has been a senator here in Nebraska since the age of 23, and he's about 80 years old now. And like I say, every day he gets up and he denounces Christianity and denounces Christians, and he's just an enemy of Christianity. A few years ago, he sued God in our courts. He's kind of famous for that. But anyway, John Ciara, it looks as though he's going to be able to unseat him because Ernie Chambers does not live in his own district, and there's real teeth in this. Ernie Chambers has resorted to citing case law for voters not voting but not living in their own district, but that's not applicable because the law explicitly states for those running for office that they have to live in their own district. So this is an answer to prayer.
Wow.
One other thing that I'll mention just in terms of developments here in Nebraska, we do have a chairman. He hasn't sent in his paperwork yet, like I told Summer the other day, but he is going to be our chairman. And we've been working closely because we're not really up and running fully here in Nebraska in terms of the prayer caucus, but we have a Capital Ministries is very strong here in the Nebraska unicameral. And the director, the man who leads that, was given a scholarship to go to Israel. And he asked Senator Watermeyer to lead the senator study, and he asked me to lead the staff study. And I was able to advertise the prayer caucus to the staff and make them aware of it. So just giving them a heads up that next year we're just going to add another layer to this. They already have good Bible study, but we're going to add a layer of prayer to it. And so that was a blessing because I was able to – well, it put Senator Watermeyer and me both in the spotlight for being spiritual leaders here in the unicameral, but it also allowed me to advertise prayer caucus for next year. That was very good.
Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you, Joel. Again, just goes to show how your faithfulness and has paid off. So we thank you for continuing to stay the course there and staying close to Senator Watermeyer and also just really being a good example there in the state capitol. So thank you. And we're thankful. We do pray for Senator Chambers, though. I pray that he gets to know the Lord, the lover of his soul. But thank you. Thank you, Joel. We appreciate that. I want to give one more update from Texas. Debbie was not able to be on the call this morning. She called me, said she had a last-minute appointment that she needed to make, but they're going strong in Texas. They have a number of religious liberty bills that are in the works there. We're helping to mobilize on a couple of them. Also, there's a couple of critical issues in the state. One, that our legal team, I love saying that, is going to be working on an amicus brief for the Texas Legislative Prayer Caucus, and they're going to help get signatures on the amicus brief. There's also a situation, a very similar situation to the Florida Cross issue, that the legislators are writing a letter. You know, they're using basically that letter, modifying it, and they're going to be sending it to the gentleman that's standing strong on behalf of keeping a cross. It's another, again, veterans memorial that's in the shape of a cross. So they're going to be sending that to encourage that gentleman to stand strong. So we're, again, just thankful for Debbie and all of her efforts, ongoing efforts in Texas. She's also starting a prayer shield where she's encouraging churches to adopt legislators. And there's a number of things that she's doing along with that as well. So next time she'll be able to give an update on that. But again, I know we're just a few minutes over here, but we appreciate you all taking time to be on today. I know not everyone got to share, but we would love to hear from you next time. And again, just thank everyone for your efforts. Leah, would you close us out? Sharon did ask for prayer on the HB2, also Betty's grandbaby, Tobias, and then just continued successful efforts for everybody as they're standing strong and obviously anything else that's on your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Father, we do come to you, Lord, and bring these questions. You told us to bring our petitions with thanksgiving, and that's what we do. We start with thanksgiving, Lord, knowing that you are the King of Kings and that our hope is in you, our trust is in you, life and all of the truth comes from and is through you. So, Lord, we look to you for all things, and we praise you for every single one of these state directors and for the prayer caucus chairs and members. God, thank you for each person who has given so much, that you would energize them, protect them. We do lift up Tobias to you, Lord Jesus. Pray for this young man, Lord Jesus. We ask for your healing. God, we thank you for the opportunities to stand strong in North Carolina, around this HB2. Father, give these legislators courage. And, Lord, we ask that the truth would win out and would come out, and that anything that comes against you and your kingdom would be stopped in Jesus' name. And use it all for your glory, that your name would be lifted up. Father, we pray that across this nation, in state after state after state, and Congress, that you would be glorified through every single action of these legislators. And, Father, we praise you now for another day to serve you. Ask that you would, Holy Spirit, lead and direct and guide every one of us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
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 Amen. We appreciate you all so much. God bless you. We look forward to next time.
Thank you for your leadership.
Bye. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Bye.